Hello, lovers and friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Romantically Lit podcast featuring two undercover hopeless romantics who geekly as they review different Black romance novels from across the diaspora. It's your girl, Hannah.
And I'm Odelia.
And on this episode, we sunrise a brand new Black romance novel called Curvy Girl Summer by Danielle Allen. And yes, we are fully aware that it's fall, okay? But just like the unprecedented times of the global climate, okay, what is really a season on this burning blue earth of ours, okay? So in today's episodes, we're going to be diving into the first chapters. I believe we're doing chapters 1 to 7, so buckle up, lovers. There's a lot going on. And as you're tuning in, please welcome, grab a snack and come on back. Remember Wendy Williams, you say that? Grab a snack and
on back. I miss her on a day like today.
Listen, anyone who's not all caught up, a One Directioner has died today, and it's rocking the world. Okay, it's breaking news. Don't laugh. Okay?
I'm not laughing, guys.
You're on a public forum.
I pray for his family. I pray for his family, and his son. And TMZ should definitely not exist as a publication.
He has children.
Yes, Bear. Finish the intro and then we'll go back to this.
Okay. Anyway, if you're tuning in for the first time, hi, welcome. And if you find that this is not your cup of tea when we're going through the book, please head on over to your favorite audio streaming platform. And look at other equally romantic books we've reviewed in the past, such as Christina Forrest, A Partner Plot. We just finished up, what did you just finish up?
Broken, Not a Halal Love Story by Fatima Bala.
We've done a lot of things. Of course, we do the Kenny Rhymes. Of course, we do the Tia Williams. Like, come on.
Who do you think the we Bolu are? The Bolu Babalolas. You know, the Ebony Liddells. The Serena Domingos.
Listen.
The Christina Forces.
Yes, exactly. All those people. So please, if you don't like this book, there's so many more out there. Like, please, just read. And as always, in this
the A.E. Valdez's. Sorry.
Yes, what she said. And as always, in this love shack of ours that we call our Look Up podcast, we embrace all different types of love tropes, and we know we reviewed something just for you. And on that note, let's get into it.
Welcome back. As my purple-loving co-host stated, we are reading The Curvy Girl Summer. She loves purple. She was just telling me. Go ahead, Hannah.
I love purple. And I love this book cover. It's beautiful, okay? It's giving gorgeous. It's giving, I want to eat you up.
It is. Do you know who I think he looks like?
Who?
In Bel Air, which is the reboot of Fresh Prince. Jeffrey.
New Jeffrey, the British guy.
That even when I'm reading Ahmed's lines, I'm like, oh, Jeffrey.
Are you doing it with an English accent?
I'm like, he's British and everything.
Where in Britain is from? He's from the South.
Brixton. I don't know.
He's from Brixton, from South Britain, South London.
Is that not where Jeffrey's crazy from?
Is it? I don't know.
We're still behind on that show.
I know.
She's beautiful, though. Personally, I'm very excited to read this book. I've been excited. It's been on our TBR, obviously. But right. I've been excited to read it. As a curvy girl myself, you know, it's hard out here dating. Period. It's hard out here dating as a woman. It's even harder as a Black woman. It's even harder as a curvy girl. Okay? The added layers are. So, you know, and I keep telling Hannah, like, the older we get, the more relatable we are to the characters in the books, and the scarier it's getting. But anyways, Danielle Allen, we're excited to start. And just off what I read to begin with, and you know, and I'm here. I'm not the other part, but I'm here, girl. And let's get into it. But very quickly, back to what we were talking about before. He does have a child. His kid's name is Bear. And he has this kid with Cheryl Cole, who's like 20 years older than him. And definitely groomed him from X Factor.
That's unfortunate.
That part is unfortunate.
Wow. Good luck.
Curvy Girl Summer. So basically, I know for some of you, it's a little hot. I see your tweets. Wherever you are, it's supposed to be cold, but it's hot. I will say even here in Southern Ontario, Canada, it is getting that fall weather, but it is, I will say for this time, it's quite warm. I won't lie to you. So yeah. We're going to, like Hannah said, global warming and all, it's still a summer over here. So
exactly.
We meet our two new characters. Our first character, excuse me, guys, sorry, is the lovely Aaliyah James. And we meet Aaliyah James in what is honestly, I feel like I say this all the time, so I'm not going to say it is the best because I change so often, but it's definitely top three of my favorite smutty scenes. Like, I was like, oh, but the fact that we just started off like that, I was like, oh, like, whirl.
Yeah, so
can we get Aaliyah, my name is, how are you? Like,
none of that. Okay, she started off and said, you know what I miss today? I miss my 10-inch god ex of a boyfriend. And 10-inch could mean bundles, and it could also mean something else, okay? If you catch my drift.
Do with that what you will.
Exactly. And, yeah, she's just like, I am dry right now. I just need something to hit the back of my head to really bring me back to my senses. So she decides to say, you know what? F it. Let me go to this man's house. Let's do what we gotta do. And they do what they gotta do. But after that, he's almost groveling and begging and say, you see, you would never leave me alone. You and I belong together. He's saying all kinds of stuff. You know, the post is not hitting him, but it hit her.
But to be fair, that's why he reached out, right? He thought he could just digmatize his way back into her life. But she was like, right. Matthew, I don't want you. I didn't want you. But what I do want to scratch this itch. And like many women, we make the mistake of going back to a place that has shown us they can't offer too much there but that. And I will give it to Aaliyah because she's a lot stronger than some of us. She was like, I actually don't even really like you like that. Like, I'm not feeling it. I just want, like, this is business. This is a transaction. This is business. And right now you bringing personal into business. And I don't like that. I told you when I came over here, drop your pants. Let's get her done. I'm going to go home. Now you talking about you miss me. I know you miss me. I don't miss you, Matthew. I didn't miss you. I missed your friend.
I miss your little friend.
I miss you.
But that's all we got.
So stop begging. It's disgusting. Yeah. Okay? We're to Sully.
Right.
I'm going to go now because you've ruined my high. And I'm going to do what most women are afraid to do. I am a big proponent of this. Just going somewhere new. And that leads us to her going to her family. I want to say reunion, but essentially it's her sister who's passed birthday. And they celebrate. It's been about 5 years.
Yeah.
We don't know how her sister passed, from my understanding.
Yeah, we have no idea, but she passed very young.
30.
And it was unfortunate. 30, yeah, which is crazy. And it's, of course, a big tragic event in her entire family because Anaya, I think it's her sister's name, was like the golden child,
yes.
Right? Like she had her career. She had her man. She was thinking about having a baby. Everyone in the family loved her. And I think the issue is that because of how great she was in her family's eyes, they always use her as like that. She's a benchmark, basically.
Yes.
And so they keep comparing Ania with Aaliyah. These names are funny.
How do we know it's not Anaya?
Anaya? Okay, you know what? Let me see what I have. Anaya here. Yeah, it's Anaya's celebration of life party. And so, yeah, it's right here.
You know what? That's course, actually, Anaya is not one of my baby names, but Amaya is. I really love the name Amaya.
Amaya is a pretty name. I think all names starting with A are pretty.
For the most part. Yeah, just like Odelia.
They have like a nice, I said A.
There's an A
so
in there.
So some of us need to go back to school and learn our vowels. I said A. Okay. I didn't say O. Sound it out with me, baby. A.
Sound it out with me. It's crazy. But yes.
Yeah. And so we hop into chapter 2 where she's sort of like looking at a picture of her sister and she just thinks to herself, like, damn girl, I miss you. Like, there's so much happening in my life. I wish I could tell you. And let me tell you, as someone who has sisters. Oh my God. Sometimes like I cannot imagine not being able to tell like what's going on in my life to my sisters, because you know what I mean, it's just, I'm a deal, of course you're a sister to me as well, so like I can't,
girl, I didn't
imagine.
Feel bad.
Oh, okay,
girl, I have a brother, I love him very much, but he was brought on this earth to bully me and I love him for it. That's my bestie.
My sisters too, listen.
Yeah, but I'm definitely a sister with a brother. She's definitely a sister with sisters. You know, I'm more of the was doing about WWE matches. And she's more of the we were listening to pop artists together. You know?
Yes, we were.
And stealing each other's clothes.
Absolutely. So yeah. And as she's, you know, thinking about her sister, in comes her mother. I think her mother is called, I forgot her mom's name. But anyway, she walks in and she brings a young man with her. Marcus. And she's just like, what's going on? Who's this stranger at my sister's celebration of life? And it seems like Aaliyah's mom is trying to set her up with this Marcus dude. And she's not having it. She's like, why are they doing this? And first of all, Marcus is described as someone who looks really young. So that would piss me off.
Okay, but from the later chapters, I was like, is he young? Because he said he's going to Hampton University. And I was like, of course, you can start university at any point in your life. And I think he's been in the Navy. But like, he could be 22. It sounds like he's 22.
And she's 30.
No, she's almost 30. I know, it's her birthday soon.
If you don't round things up, I'm gonna punch you in the face. She said she's almost 30. Girl, it doesn't matter if she's 29 or 30, the boy's 22. You get me?
Whatever.
Odelia,
I understand.
You know how I feel about age gaps. You know how I feel about age gaps.
No, not that we got tricked again.
For anyone in context, Odile and I hate age gaps. Like, please do not put gaps between our love interests. I hate that. Okay, it's not for me.
Literally, if that's your cup of tea, we don't care. We don't want to hear about it. We don't care. Over here, all my homies hate age gaps, and that's okay.
Exactly. So they get into a conversation, Marcus and Aaliyah, and he seems to be a very cool, chill guy. You know, he lost a friend actually, so that's how they end up bonding. She's talking about grief, like, this is my sister. Yeah, so they're talking about grief and everything, and it seems pretty cool. But I don't know if she's feeling him that much.
Like, he's feeling her, though.
Well, yeah, he's feeling her because, you know, she's cool. Like, this girl here is a cool girl. She's like, I would love to be
but
her.
But she's so gorgeous, okay? Even on the cover. I will say, though, you know, as the ambassador of facts during our reading, she is very much the perfect fat. Like, look at her.
I was just about to say, she has an hourglass figure, which, to be honest, like, people who are bigger in size, this is like the
this is how I wish I looked.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a societal acceptable look.
So it looks like
plus size models.
What's her name? Tabria Majors. The light skinned one who did like a Beyonce Halloween thing of formation.
Oh yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah.
I was thinking about my wife. What's her name? She was in that.
Oh, from Only Murders.
Yeah.
She's in Only Murders.
Yes, she is.
Divine Joy.
Yeah, my wife. My wife looks just like her. Just like her.
I think your wife is on the Ozempi. I've been meaning to say it. I really do. Go look at her Instagram, and I don't mean that in a mean way. Well, like,
you can be quiet because you're allegedly.
Allegedly, I said I think fear. Allegedly, but and there's She's nothing not. Wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. Like, I think a lot of us have realized that the 2000s are back. So is the fat phobia.
You know who's on it? Fat Joe.
Fat Joe's lost like 200. The thing is, though, when I saw that report today, I was like, I feel like Fat Joe's been on a weight loss journey from time. The Ozempic just probably rounded it up for him. But hey.
Damn. So people with diabetes are just dying, yeah? You guys are stealing their medication.
Listen. And again, like, I think even with Lizzo, whomever, as an ambassador for the fats, because I'm currently there with y'all, listen. Everybody has their opinion on fat politics, you know? That is a school study. I will say this. I will never, as someone who's currently a fat, if you're on your little weight loss journey, right, that's your business. I think my only thing personally is I would never promote it. Even now, I would never say, oh yeah, I'm out here trying to lose weight. Like, I just don't think that's healthy to promote. And I would definitely not get up on the internet like Lizzo and be like, I just feel so happy now. I'm so like sure of myself now. Yeah. And I'm so happy after you've spent like 2 to 3 years basically profiting off of the body positive movement. But anyways, that is just I get it. It's hard out here to be fat, especially like I said, the 2000s are back. So you know, my girl, Samira on TikTok is yelling at brands every day because they're not selling plus sizes. They're literally telling us lose weight or get out. And so
that on top of the economic downturn that we're in, like there is no, like, of course, 2000s are back. Like, you know, it's time to be here and chic. Okay. Right now, all you guys should be having is baguettes and cigarettes.
I mean, that's all most people can afford. So
girl, you know how much a cigarette costs? It's a lot of money.
No, listen, it might still be cheaper than lettuce. One time I went to the store and lettuce was $9. Canadian grocery shopping is like a bullet to the head every time.
Isn't Gillen Weston too? Who owns a cigarette?
Listen, big nicotine. big nicotine. They're always ahead of the game. But
right.
But yeah, I don't know where we were. Essentially all is to say, do what is best for you. I just think, like, we can't pretend we haven't made progress and then go back. I think even today, Reb Doll, which was a huge plus size brand, I personally could never afford them. But I know a lot of you like them. They're closing down because they don't have the money to keep going. Mm. She's tried crowdfunding and she's literally at 44% of her crowdfunding goal. And so this is the end. You know, the sky is falling. Where's Waddell? So another fat who left us.
You are so right. You know, for me, every time October comes, I have to listen to Adele bangers only. So for the last week, it's just been Adele. And it's when you said this is the end, I'm just like, oh,
I've been on like it.
Me. You know what I mean? My girl and I are on the same timeline, right? But you're right. She left the fat community.
She said bye, guys.
And her excuse was interesting.
I think hers is the best one. Really and truly, she's the one I believe. Like,
what did she say? Because
she just said that she was so depressed post-divorce.
Oh, yeah.
She just started hiking. And I do believe there is something to be said about increased exercise. You're burning more calories, like something's gonna happen. Then if you start doing one healthy habit, you're gonna just start doing another healthy habit. And this is not to say there's fat people who are not living healthy lives. Like, I will always say, I never thought Lizzo in particular was unhealthy, because I personally can't play the flute and run around the stage and sing. And I know a lot of skinny girlies who cannot either. So however, Sweetie is one of them, and a lot of skinny girls eat like literal trash, like raccoons that pretend like they wished to be human and then got here. But and I think one healthy habit leads into another healthy habit, and then, you know, and she
almost, I think for her, it was like a coping mechanism, because the way she described her divorce was tumultuous for her, so I'm assuming like that's just how things were going to end for her. This is another thing. I don't know if it's a good point or anything, but Adele's style has always been mesmerizing to me, even when she was much bigger.
Yeah.
And I think she's maintained her style throughout. Like, I don't know how to say, I don't know what to say.
I know what you're like, trying to say. She's not like the other fats or former fats who lose weight and suddenly that. Are like, oh my God, I love a bikini.
Yeah. Like, her style is uniquely Adele. Like, it doesn't matter what body she was in, it's the same. And also, she kept her Instagram pictures as well. You see, all her pictures are there. Some of y'all like to, you know,
pretend like we didn't know what you looked like.
Exactly.
We knew Adele girls.
Still looks at pictures of her when she was much bigger. She still does. She still shares them. She's still like, I'm sorry, y'all. Like,
yeah. And so I think that's why I say of every single celebrity or influencer, whomever, I think she's the only person I believe. All you on TikTok who get out there are trying to justify that you're doing it because your back hurts and your boob hurts, or you feel like you need to be on your health journey, and that doesn't mean you don't love your body. And it's okay. You can say because I've said it, you know, there are benefits to be skinny, and that's okay, yeah. Baby girl. As long as you accept we live in an imperfect world. I think the problem is that so many of you profited off of being plus size. So now you have to tell the fans that you created that you actually don't enjoy being fat. And you personally don't want to live in a world where being fat of any kind is even less accepted than it was in, let's say, 2020. And that's up to ya. But back to my girl, Aaliyah, because she don't mind being herself. Look how beautiful she is. Again, had I looked like this, I wouldn't mind either. I mean, I got the boobs and the butt, but she ain't got no belly, and that's what I wish I had, no belly. But, because I got the boobs and the butt. I just don't want the belly. Listen. Anyways, she's... I did tell Hana, I was like, reading this book, it's like triggering a little bit. I'm like, ugh!
Yeah.
Especially the part at the bar, that... Something that only ever happened to me one time where those people like started harassing her. But the stuff with the family, I was like, oh my God, who took a video of my family and put it into a book? Like, what do they even know they're in the book? But she goes to this thing and her mom obviously is setting her up with this person. Then her crazy uncle comes from the side and starts talking about, you literally have nothing. Mind you, she's working. She has made something of herself. They treat her like the bum. Like, but he's like, you don't have a man, you don't have a kid, and you're fat, and you're probably going to die alone and fat unless you change something about that. Be like your skinny sister. She was skinny and had a husband and was thinking about a kid, and that's why I gave her my yacht. But you're fat and ugly, and you don't have a husband or a kid, so you're worthless to us. And you're your parents' only kid, so that makes your sins even bigger, you fat, ugly, single Pringle.
You guys, get a man. What he said.
That's essentially what he said.
I just wrote here, Uncle Al is a scumbag. That's what I have. Because he is. And he's so adamant about this yacht. So it seems like this yacht is something that her and her sister used to go on all the time. And it's like a tradition they have. And I think he was going to gift it to her older sister before she passed. But now
she did gift it to her.
Oh, gifted to her.
Yeah,
he did
then
already.
She died and he took it back.
Yeah, he took it back. And he wants to give it to Aaliyah, but he's just like, I cannot until you get that body weight down. And it's like...
Jim was crazy. He said, I saw my ex-stepkid at the grocery store. And she is downtrodden. She is depressing. She's, ugh. And she's just, oh my God. She's literally waiting to exhale. Personified, like, of everything a black woman is. Like, that's essentially what he said. She had her two kids and she's sad and she ain't got no man and she got multiple baby daddies and she's fat. And she said, damn, maybe she's all those things because she's a single mom and has to take care of her kids because her baby daddies are deadbeats. And he said, no. It's them extra 100 pounds holding her back. Okay.
Which is wild.
And she said,
wild.
You don't look too healthy either. Like, you're out here eating and drinking. And he said, you, my friend, you're the obese person in question right now. Okay? Not me. You and the other black woman. Summarizing
this conversation is crazy, but no, truly to all listeners, this is exactly.
This
what
is essentially what he said. Yeah. This is not an exaggeration. Like verbatim, Danielle Allen wrote, "You obese whale." And no, I'm kidding, but
and like as was having this conversation with her, her grandmother is there, her mom is there. I think her father walks in at some point of some sort, and everyone's just like. Everyone's just chiming in, and they're just like, what's going on? Like, she looks upset. What's happening?
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's talk about this, because, well, one, her grandma's like, you leave that girl alone. But it sounds like her mom has an ailment. I think her mother's dying.
I think her mom is a little bit sick.
Yes.
For sure. And I think it's going to come up again in future chapters.
Do I think it is?
But how? What?
Dementia or Alzheimer's. Something you long enough. Yeah, I think it's something where she's like, I want to be able to see and remember my children having kids and getting married. But it's not like ailment of like, I'm going to die today kind of thing. You know what I mean?
It's more like it's
that's my
it's
guess,
like a progressive anyways. Thing.
Yes.
Yeah, because like she, even as all this is happening about like her weight and why she can get a man because of her weight. Her mom, she described in the book that her mom has always been very like, instilling in her like confidence, self-confidence, be brave, be courageous, whatever. And then it's kind of surprising her now that her mom is sort of like having this weird like I don't know attitude towards it. It's just like, well, does she think this way about me, or is like what's going on, like why is she so adamant about me, like I just want you to be happy, I want you to find a man, I want you to have kids. So maybe it ties into what you're speculating with Delia that she could be. And also because it's her only losing, I cannot imagine as a parent losing a child. So maybe she's more of like, I have to make sure this one here, this only one here gets to live a life that I can see before I die. Anywho, this really upsets her, this whole conversation. She tries to walk away. Her uncle follows her and says, hey, you know, I'm sorry for all that in there, but I was just trying to like help you. You know, I don't want you to go down a dangerous path. Like he says stuff, I'm just like, okay.
And this is where I was like, oh my God. It's the voices. The voices. But yeah. And then he was like, his chief eventually said, she told her family, I have a boyfriend. He just lives in Canada. Because I know that's apparently what some of you Americans tell your in school. You're like, I have a girlfriend. She just goes to the next school over. She did that. And her uncle said, bring your little boyfriend to your birthday dinner and I'll give you the yacht. But you don't have a boyfriend. So prove to me you have a boyfriend and I'll give you the yacht. And I'm just like, you can take your dusty yacht and go.
Because I would have done that. But at the same time, I think she genuinely wants to find a man as well. Like they make it very clear in the book that she's not doing this all because her family's telling her. She's like, I want to find something for myself because I'm about to turn 30, and to be honest, like
Hana, please,
like I don't know what to say.
Here's Hana's triggers.
What did Dill say in the beginning, that reading this book starts to like show you like we're coming to that age? Yeah, because at least for women, at least like, well, women like me, Aaliyah and Odilia, we're doing the math here, okay?
Yep.
We're in our late 20s. We're trying to figure out, like, okay, fine, if we want to find a long-term boyfriend, right? We got to start off dating for, like, 2 years before we can, like, think about moving in together. And then from there, thinking about, like, do you want to have kids or don't have kids? Like, you know what's happening? Like, we need 5 years or maybe 6 to get to, like, the final stage.
Yeah.
So at this age, she's just like, damn, like, I got to speed up this process. I got to move. So I feel you, Aaliyah.
Then you gotta start fighting your biological clock, and like I personally just accept it. I've told God in my heart, he has 5 more years. I'm having my kids at 32, so he got 5 years to show me. You know, a long time ago I accepted that not every person you meet is here forever. I've always said not all of us will find our soulmate. I do very much believe that everyone is here for a reason or a season. And so I'm willing to accept the father of my children because I want the kids more than I want the marriage personally. However,
you should just have a rainbow marriage.
Yes, I want an actual marriage though. I don't want to oh, let's just shack up. That's the Catholic in me. You know, my conservative bias is that I believe people should be married before they have kids. Like, especially for myself. And hopefully God won't laugh in my face about it. But, like, I do think there is something to be said about being married, having kids, and then maybe consequently divorcing. But rather than just being, like, you know, Dante from down the street, you know.
Right.
But, hey, to each their own. But, God, you got 5 years. I'll be 27 December. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Look at her doing the math. TikTok. Come on, girl.
Time's up. TikTok. Do you know you have 30 minutes, God? Yeah, I'm threatening Yahweh.
Right.
He needs to hurry up.
Okay. As Julia is threatening our good and savior. We move on to, I think we're chapter 3. This is when she gets set up, right?
Oh, yeah. She goes back to work. And she's like in IT or something. Like, she's making something of herself. She's overcome many barriers to be in the position that she's in. And she's well-liked in her profession. And her parents everybody's treating her like a bum. And I think that's the most annoying thing about being a woman. Is, like, you could literally be, like, you know, I don't like this lady so much, Kamala Harris, but, like, and somebody will still tell you you're not worthy, because I think that was Donald Trump's whole argument, that she doesn't have kids. Like, not that, like, there are many things you could say about Kamala Harris, the fact that she's a genocide supporter, the fact that she likes to lock black people up, the fact that, you know, she doesn't really believe in, like, actual things that can help the community. You know, you could say those things about her, but you could say those things about all the American presidents. However, to bring it down to the fact that she doesn't have kids of her own is just, it is the plight of women. It is just like, no matter how successful you are, none of that matters if you are not this, like, baby breeding machine who lives to serve a random ass man, you know? And it's just, it's quite unfortunate. And that's why I hate how her family is, you know, dealing with this matter. And, you know, it's all, like, I always say, like, I feel like Han and I, we have African fathers who think they're feminists. Like, they're feminists in their African father way. They're like, they'll always tell us, go to school, be amazing, do things, like, accomplish. But then they'll be like,
you're doing too much. You're being too amazing.
They're like, where are the grandchildren? Where is the husband?
I think, like,
when will you learn how to cook? You know? And you're like,
It's a legacy thing. I know in my family, that's what it is. It's a legacy thing, okay? It's like, where are them kids? And he's not talking about adopted kids. He said, where are the biological children, okay? The ones who share our blood type, okay? I want a child with my nose.
Like, literally, they're like, this is cute. We sent you to school. Like, great. Get the degrees. Cute. But can you do the domestic stuff that I also need from you as a girl child? And, yeah, it's just very interesting. So I think it's hard, especially as women in this generation, where you're like, finally, I can do some of the things men can do. But, like, every day someone will be like, hold up.
Yeah.
Why is nobody breeding you? You know? So.
Yeah.
I support all my women who don't want to have kids. Please. I think some of you should have less kids. But anyways. So she goes in and she's, one of her coworkers like, oh, at my birthday party, a man saw you, he's attracted to you, I want to give him your number if you weren't interested, slap a blind. And she says, fine. She just had a conversation with her friends. I think her friend's name is Nicole and...
Nina and Jasmine.
There we go.
These are her two besties. No, that's your bestie, Julia. I'm talking about the ones in the book.
That is true. I do have a best friend named Nicole. Shout out to Nicole.
But yeah, we meet Nina and Nicole. Hiya. Nina and Jasmine in the car, I think on the car ride from or to work, I don't know, man. And they're very interesting characters. Nina is like your Samantha Jones. Jasmine is like combination of every other girl you've, you know, like she's a sweet girl, but she's struggling right now because she's dealing with family issues. But her, I like her friends. Sick. They're always there for her. Yeah, her mom's really sick.
Yeah.
So she's a little bit quiet, but she still wants to, like, you know, be in tune with, like, what her friends up to. I love sisterhood. Mm. And like Adelia said, my girl gets set up. She's like, you know what, whatever, let's do it. And then she decides to go, let's have this date across from her luxury apartments in a bar called Onyx.
Oh, we're in DC, by the way, right?
Girl, I don't know where we are.
I believe it's DC.
I could not tell you. Okay, sure, we're in DC. What gave you that? What gave you that? That was DC. You just made that shit up.
I didn't. I swear it's DC.
Like the DMV?
Yes, like the DMV.
Okay, I don't know where we are, Danielle.
No, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to tell you right now.
When things are due, you're going to take forever.
Sorry to my readers.
Girl, can I move on? Then you jump in when you find...
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so we move on to chapter 4, and this is now the actual deal. We start off right off the bat, okay? Essentially, she got screwed up, y'all. She's been sitting at the bar, waiting. And then this is now where our love interest comes in, because we meet our lovely, fine Brixton, not Brixton boy, Ahmed. And he runs the bar. And instantly banter, okay? He's one of those guys who just constantly have jokes. Like, do you have a serious bone in your body?
He's a bit me. Like, I will always say you can laugh your way into my pants.
Guys, as I was reading the interaction between Aaliyah and Ahmed, I said, I know a friend who would eat this up. And her name is Aaliyah. She loves this type of stuff. I was reading, I was like, yeah, this is something Odula would do on a date. Oh, not a date, but like if she met a guy who matched her energy, this is exactly what it would be.
No, like every man I've genuinely ever had feelings for has literally just laughed their way into
your heart.
Yeah.
I know you.
My love language is joking, like almost like in a, I don't want to say brother sister way, but like in an insulting manner. That's not like hurtful, but like you're dumb. No, like you're dumb, like that.
Yeah, that's Odilia. But you know, to some extent, I like that. But I know for a fact that is more Odilia's lane.
Yeah, that's me.
We meet the boy Ahmed, and Ahmed, like I said, he runs a bar with his sister Asia, and he is described as a mocha-colored man with buff arms and tattoos and just cutesy, okay? He's giving fine, okay? He's giving 90s fine for my imagination. Mm. And unfortunately, he also wears a ring.
This is what I don't get.
So just like, oh, so you married?
But then like, did his wife come into the bar at one point, or did I make that up?
So like, someone who we think is his wife, you know, comes to the bar. Mm. So even though Aaliyah and Ahmed have very good banter from the moment they met, she notices that he has a ring, and she's like, let me, you know, stay away from this type of man, but let's continue, right? So as I get into conversation, he's telling her like, I know you got stewed up, like, your man's not here, but you know, when I was on dating stuff, I used to use this dating app called Tinderfish. Is that what their dating app is called? Or Tinderfish?
I feel like it's a mixture of Tinder and Plenty of Fish.
Plenty of Fish, yeah. And he tells her, like, listen, I think you should hop on this app. Like, if you're trying to find somebody, hop on the app, put your pictures in, put your bio in. And so he kind of, like, coaches her. It's like, yeah, put your bio like this. This pictures are fire. He's a little flirtatious, so I was just confused. I'm just like, you married? Yes or no? You're a cheat? Yes or no? Answer all these questions immediately.
He's married, but he's in love with somebody else. And her name is Aaliyah James. And he wanted just all of that. Okay?
He does.
I mean, also, I did not. No, like I do too. Like she is fine. Okay.
Yes, yeah, she's a fine man.
So if I had to cast this movie, it would be Bel Air guy, Jeffrey from Bel Air, and Amber Riley. Mm-hmm. I did not find the city, and I think I'm confusing it because this season of Love Is Blind is in DC.
I'm not even surprised. Anyway, so Ahmed is just like, listen, girl, I'm going to coach you through everything. So get your dates and bring them back to the bar every Friday. And I'm going to be there. Okay. I'm going to have you back from here. And so she's like, you know what? That's kind of sweet that he's offering that. So yeah, no worries. Let me go on this app. Let me find my guys, bring them here. And then you're going to debrief with me afterwards, which I thought was really cute. And suspicious. Very.
I mean, it's not suspicious if you're trying to get in her pan. You want to see her every moment. So eventually, you know.
Okay. Honestly, let's get it on. This is when pretty privilege plays a big role when it comes to dating and semen. Because if the Ahmed was an ugly man, I would call the police immediately.
Really?
Some man who I just met right now, banter, okay, and is saying that, hey, like, you should come here every Friday. Like, I'm just like, next setup, you're gonna put me in the trunk? Like,
no, but he works there.
And you see, girls, in this 2024, I cannot accept that type of
direction. I mean, like, you'll see me next Friday.
That's because he told a corny joke time, and so now you're in love. Like, that's the difference between you and me, girl. Because it's true. It's true, Adula. You, one corny joke, boom. And more like you got three. My girl.
Actually, I told that boy the corniest joke the other day. I'll tell you after. I'll tell you now what the joke was. I saw on Twitter, and I had to share it with somebody. The date was October 10th. So the joke was, are you the date? Because you're a 10 out of 10. You're like, that's so dumb, but like, it's so funny.
I know it got you tickled up. I know, girl.
Like, it's hilarious.
You can't help it.
I can't help it. Sorry, guys.
No, it's fine. Because, you know, that same day, I think it was like a Tuesday or some sort, I heard so many 10 out of 10 jokes.
Really?
I was like,
why didn't you share them?
I actually forgot.
You forgot about me?
I was not
me?
Laughing at any of them. That's crazy. Okay, let's move on. So that's their agreement. And so we move on to chapter 5. And now we meet, we're at Leah's apartment and we meet her friend Nina. Nina is there to give her some emotion. Nina is for the streets. Okay, Nina knows the streets, right?
I think Nina is emotionally unavailable and defensive. I think she's trying to cover up everything by just sleeping around. But in reality, if the right person came along who could love her right, she would be as much of a lover girl as Hana is, okay? And for that very reason, Nina, just like Hana, can be flapping their gums left and right, but we all know the truth.
Oh,
who said that? Oh my God. Hana, who read you like that?
Nobody read me. What you said was false. Anyway, so Nina is over at Leah's house trying to help her how to give her the lay of the land of what tenderfish is all about. She's just like, girl, you have to swipe a lot of people, okay? And you're only going to get one.
Honestly, I don't know why anybody would ever suggest online dating for anybody. It is the worst thing you can
it's
do.
It's actually demoralizing.
It's so demoralizing. It
I know we're all like specks in this world, but it makes me feel smaller than a speck. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it was a mistake, personally. I think I think there was some benefit to first our brains and society and like socializing to go into a place and meet somebody and talk to somebody and like, you know, do that. Not you just aimlessly. Sometimes I'm like, wow, uggo. And then I'm like, oh my God, somebody just looked at me and said, look at this beast. Like, because I just really? Did that.
I don't know how the experience is on the men's side, but for the girls, I think it's all unison. Like, we see uglies 90% of the time. The time that I see an attractive guy, I'm shocked. I said, how did you get stuck in this pile?
Literally.
You know what I mean? It's
is
ridiculous.
This a trick?
I remember Adelia, when I was on a dating app, I used to show Adelia my little swipe, and I would run out of guys.
Yeah.
Every single time. And then I think Hinge used to have this thing where it's like, you're done swiping. Like, they give you
yeah,
like
too many yeses or something.
Nah, and they just said, girl, you went through all our rosters. Like, what'd you want? What'd you like?
The store's empty, girl. You bought it all. And I feel like...
I didn't buy. I walked in. Let me see what's in Lulu. You know what I mean? And I walked right out. You know that sound? Let's go see what's in Lulu.
No, I don't.
Just get out of Lulu. Oh,
send it to me.
That's crazy. You don't know that sound?
No, but you didn't know the one about Walking with the Devil, is it? Me and the Devil, yeah, walking side by side. Me and the Devil.
And why are you saying devil? Like,
because the person is clearly like Norwegian or something.
Oh,
me and what? The devil walking.
There was a time when you and our For You pages were on like in sync, and now like look at this girl.
I think because I get a couple of fan edits and things.
Oh yeah, you keep them. You keep them
from movies and whatnot.
My fan edits are all in Tumblr.
So now everybody knows what you are, a nasty. But anyway.
No, that's not true. Tumblr does not put those pornographic images. Wait a minute. I saw something nasty yesterday. So no, it was cute. You know, things that Tumblr is like Twitter. Like, you hop on, boom.
I've never, like, even at Tumblr's worst days, I never had this problem. Like, it was very minimal, even in its worst days. So when Honey tells me she's being attacked by the things on Tumblr, no, I'm like,
genuinely being attacked.
Just curate your timeline like I do.
And I have. I've cleaned it up because I think there was somebody who I followed for 1 year who was like creating, like she was making like she was telling stories. And I think she had a rebrand and she shifted to nasty. And so I was kept thinking to myself, why do I have all these naked pictures? I was like, what's going on? And I figured out who it was. I went to her little page and I said, girl, no, no, no. We don't do that here, okay?
But we do.
Everything with moderation. With moderation.
Yeah, clearly. My Tumblr is for Sims content. Sims and a few fandoms I'm in.
Listen, his own. Okay?
I love some CC.
Yes, you do.
But yeah, but anyway, so no. dating is for the birds. So she's on these apps and she's like, damn. So then she finally lands on this boy, Dante. And I said Dante for a reason earlier. She's vibing with Dante. I'm vibing with Dante to the point where we get to the date. She's telling Ahmed. She tells Ahmed his name and he's like, Dante and Aaliyah doesn't go. Yeah, of course it don't go, because why would you want anybody's name next to your soulmate's name? You know what I'm saying? And eventually he shows up and the date's going well. Like, it's going well. Yeah. And I was like, damn, so what could really be wrong with... Each time of the day, I'm like, what could really be wrong with it? Like, like, it's not a story. No. And so I'm reading, I'm like, what could really be wrong with him? Why is this man saying he got 4 kids, but clicked on the app that he doesn't have kids? And I was like, at least, like she said, at least say, don't answer the question. But you basically said you didn't have any, talking about, I want women to know me for just me. And I think men are so hilarious, because had the roles been reversed, they don't offer women the same kindness. So for you to sit there with your 4 kids and think you did, go start a blended family. Like, hello?
Yep. And I like how he slipped it in there. He's like, yeah, I was just dropping off some gifts to my older kids. Kids?
Oh, so they're not even in the same house.
I don't think so. Oh. I don't think he stays with Vinny. So I'm just like, why would you just slip that in? And she's just like, wait, pause. Like, what do you mean you got 4 kids? It's ridiculous. Anyway, he was gaslighting her, saying, oh, you know, that's one thing I hate about you women. You know, are you always like, la-da-dee, la-da-da, boy, bye. So he leaves, as he should. And
Go ahead, Hannah.
No, you say I what?
I have another conservative view, which is that, like, I don't even think it's conservative, but this is a bias. Like, my first kid should be your first kid. Like,
I agree.
I think at the age I'm at right now, if I was over 35, I would reconsider this. But at 27, somehow I've avoided teen pregnancy this long.
Can you praise God?
Can we just fill this room with thank you?
Because I think it's ridiculous for you, especially... I'm throwing shade to all those women. Like, knowingly going with a man who already has 4 different kids from 4 different people.
Yes.
I think you have to understand, like, when I was in school and I was in math class, they taught us this thing called sequences, right? And they always ask you to figure out what the pattern is,
yes,
right? To get the answer, right? And I love sequences. And I always passed that because that was the only thing I could do. Couldn't do algebra. And so I just had to take this knowledge that I have and pass it into the real world. If I meet a man who already has 4 kids with different women or different people, I'm like, well, I'm next.
Literally.
You know what I mean? And it's actually stupid on you. It really is. So Summer Walker.
You were going to call me Summer.
I know. I had to. Cardi B, you. Cardi, I love you, but.
Oh, you're right. She is like the third.
The third. Like, you have to understand. CR, before she had her prayer. Like, this is just. This is. You guys, like, did you fail? And you're smart women. So did you fail the same class?
I will always say it doesn't matter how smart women are. They could literally be the leaders of NASA. They could be Nobel Peace Prize winners. If you put a man in their way, everything becomes, you'll see the dumbest human you've ever experienced. You'll be like, there's no way. Like, I know this person. They're smart. No. God created men to make women stupid.
Yeah,
and it works every single time. I don't know how.
And you know what?
And none of us are immune from it.
I was just about to say. I said, like, so that was, you know, for them, for Cardis and the Summer Walkers, that's fine. Maybe like something that we, maybe something that we do, they're gonna look at us and be like, "Girl, for a man," you know what I mean?
Literally,
like, we all have a different tolerances with whatever it is, and I think that's just the
woman
unfortunate
way.
Thing about being straight,
especially being a heterosexual woman, like. We make excuses for everybody, tells themselves, this is what I'm willing to tolerate. Especially when you really like that person or love that person. Sometimes you scare yourself. You're like, why am I? And sometimes you're hoping you'll be different. I think that's what a lot of it is. Like, the biggest weapon against humans is hope. So often I find myself even being like, well, with time, they'll change. With this, they'll change. So I can imagine someone like Cardi or maybe even Summer being like, but this time will be different. Like, he's matured now. He's doing this. This is different. He married me. He did it. Like, you know, it's different this time. You're really trying.
Yeah.
You know. It's, and hey.
And you know what? To be honest, it's also men's fault, because why are you lying?
Yeah. You know, ultimately, like, it's their fault.
No matter how many times, like, no matter how many sessions I've had with my therapist, like, I'm, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going through different things, but I just know that no matter how many years I stick with my girl and she tells me how to handle, like, different big emotions, I just know there's a man out there who's going to teach me something new. And I'm like, ah!
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You've exposed me to something I've never been exposed to. And now you're doing things I've never imagined.
Right. And sometimes there are things you have imagined, things you have been exposed to. But, like, I find, like, with romantic relationships, it's the only kind of relationships where you find women, they tell women to stick it out, figure it out, like, give it time. Right. So then you're telling your, like, you have to put in the work for it to work. So then you're sitting there, like, low-key, I want to punch this person in the face, but, like, I guess I got to put in the work to understand them. And what's funny is men don't do the same thing. Men aren't putting in that work to understand you. And, like, so you find yourself being forced to be gaslit and, like, constantly triggered by this other person because, you know, Auntie Susan told you to put in the work and make it work. And, like, you know, you have to be understanding. Yeah. And men are complex beings and they need a certain amount of... They're weirdos.
Men are not complex beings at all. In fact, their whole anatomy is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say. Women are more complex.
Oh, very complex.
We're more evolved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I always say this, like, patriarchy has always been, like, the default setting of our universe. And women, there's a time when we couldn't vote. We couldn't, you know, do anything without having a man there. But now we can. We're evolving. Mm-hmm. We're adapting to new environments. Men... The world has always favored you, and yet look at you.
Head start, you're still here. With me.
You're still here. Like, you're not even complaining. Like,
that's even the worst part of it all. The world has
been in favor of you, so why are you struggling?
Yeah.
Because you're not evolving. And they need to start realizing right now, and like, honestly, like, they need to start reading feminist books. You know, okay? Pick up a bell hooks and start really, like, manipulating your mind to think differently, because this world is not...
And not in that Jalen and Monet way.
No, not in that way. Like, genuinely pick up a book and learn something and actively try and figure out, okay, this is something about myself that I need to actively work on in order to survive. Because the way men are right now, the way we're socialized, it's not going to last. And that's why when they say your chromosome is going down, it's going down. There's a point where you guys would all be here. And I can go outside at 8 p.m. and we'll take a walk. We pray to God. We pray to God, because it's just scientifically, like, there are more women, and genuinely speaking, the men are not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You can't survive. If I give you day 4 of my period pain, you will not make it. Day 4.
Day 4 is actually chill. Like, they need a straight day 2. Day 2 is what I really need them to get. But,
Anywho.
But yeah, but back to the book.
I have to say, some men...
I'm not. A lot of you, all of you need to do work. Every single last one of you. You all disgust me for different reasons.
I'm repulsed by men. Ask Odilia.
Hana is very much in her hateration era. I hate you
era?
Guys.
This is, what do you mean era? Girl, I am perpetually disgusted.
I mean, I hate them all too, but hey.
Someone hates them more here.
This girl. This guy.
But I'm pointing my thumbs. And the 3 fingers pointed back.
I hate that joke. Anyways, back to the book.
Where are we, girl?
So the day goes bad and Ahmed's like, it's gonna be okay, baby girl. Nobody has to know. He's like, it's fine, girl. And so then she comes back again. With a different man. I don't remember this idiot's name, because this day was actually Raven?
Brayden.
Brayden. We should have known a light-skinned ting named Brayden. It was something straight out of a Tyler Perry movie, because why was the date going well? And I was like, what's wrong with him? Like, what's really wrong with him? At one point, I thought it was going to be like a love triangle type of situation between her, Brayden, and Ahmed. But then Brayden's wife, who he just said was dead...
For three years, you can lie.
Men will lie so far to the point where they'll kill you.
Like, speaking, because if you can come up with such a flamboyant, and you say it with conviction, there's something sick about you.
There's something psychopathic about that. You even feigned sadness. Hello? Are you okay?
I'm asking people questions about your grief. And you say, yeah, it's been 3 years since I lost my wife. What?
You've been saying, yeah, it's taking me some time to want to build a connection again. Meanwhile, your wife is tracking you on where's my friend? Find my friend. Life 360. Come busted and calling me all types of B word. Fam, nobody wants your dusty man. Okay.
She showed up with pop, 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 pop. And the thing is that when women catch their men, you know, cheating, you have to know that woman doesn't know herself. Most of the time, they don't really know what's happening. They're just like, literally, what the hell is this? You lied to me, girl. We're
victims together.
Exactly. And she was, I think Aaliyah's point is just like, damn, this girl's gonna try and fight me. She's like,
and that's Aaliyah even doesn't weirder fight. Because she's
not a fighter.
Clearly, this is not your first time finding this man doing this, which implies, based on your behavior, you fought other women before.
Yeah,
which is even crazier, because you still take that man back, and you have to still, like, you literally, there's rocks up here clicking back and forth when you do this with your head tilted.
I love it when you guys talk about people's brains, like, and you know, Twitter has the best type of example when you talk about someone's brain
or lack thereof.
I'm trying to think of a funny one I saw the other day. It was hilarious.
Oh, if you see a school, doesn't matter what school bus, just get on it.
I think I like when some people talk about, I see the the fluid around your brain. Someone talking about the fluid
around There's no fluid around your brain.
There's no fluid around your brain. That was hilarious.
My favorite would always be the classic lights are on, but nobody's home. Because that's really what a lot of you give. Bird. I would actually give birds more. I feel like birds do a little more. Like, y'all are just there. You know? Yeah. I really think... Listen, there's a lot women are willing to do. My hard boundary is I'm not fighting another woman for you. Like, I don't care. This is not Romeo and Juliet. This is not West Side Story. Like, this is not a movie. And even if it was, that's my sister. She's confused right now. But that's my sister. Okay?
Yeah, I would never, ever fight over a man. I think it's just... Like, it's a waste of energy. I don't have it in me. I walk away. I'm going to be like Beyonce in the elevator just standing there.
I also feel like if you... It is disrespectful for you to put me in a position where I... We're fighting... Someone would even feel the need to fight you for me. Like, it is disrespectful for you to put me in that position. And you don't care enough. And that, to me... is enough sign that I don't need to be there. Like, sorry.
Yeah. 100%.
But.
So, yeah. She's just like, damn, like, whatever this is, you can go. And so the random ass couple leave. And Alma's just like, damn, like, what's all that? She's just like, honestly, I don't want to talk about it. This is a freaking mess. And I think she was feeling so, like, self-conscious because everyone is watching and saying, like, yeah. Oh, did you steal that man? Like, are you a homewreck or whatever? I think that was, like, her concern of how everyone was just viewing her. But Alma's just there to, like, you know, throw jokes, calm her down.
Of course, and say, he is.
Girl, like, girl, everything's gonna be fine, whatever. And he opens up a little bit. He talks about how he has a fear of driving. He has a car, but he doesn't drive because he was in some sort of accident, which I think is important because the way he flirts with her, I say accident, flirt, ring. Who here is dead?
The wife.
I think his wife died.
Yeah.
And I think it's just out here that maybe like the ring is just more like to
ward symbolize off women.
Life. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe as a kid.
No, and please. And keep it on. Please.
I know. I've gone too far. But I genuinely think that his wife died and he just keeps the ring on just to like commemorate her and be. And that's a horrible way to go in an accident. So it must be like painful. So he keeps it there for that reason. Because he's just too flirtatious. Like, damn, you're doing too much.
What if it's like, you know that movie with Will Smith? Where he, what's it called? The one where he, like, he was the reason that him and his wife got in a car accident and she died. So now he, like, spends time atoning for his sins, like, giving bone marrow and, like, donating food.
What's this called?
And then he, like, kills himself at the end.
Oh, God, that movie was sad.
It's, like, seven pounds?
Seven pounds of,
I think it's 7 pounds.
7 pounds, I watched. That was absolutely tragic, girl.
Yeah.
It was absolutely
tragic. Yeah, the man's watching philosophy class.
It's called, yeah, I think it's called, hold on, 7 pounds. Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
His wife was white?
That's the biggest sin, really, girl?
No. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just an old movie. It came in 2008.
Yeah. I just remember him throwing the... I swear he like kills himself with a jellyfish or something.
And she doesn't drown himself?
Something like that. Oh, no. And it just feels like that, like maybe he's the cause of the reason why his wife, you know.
Yeah. Oh, this movie was so sad, Odilia. Oh,
very sad.
Let's move on.
But anyway,
so young here. Oh my god! Like, wow.
Well, maybe because it was 2008. You know, 2008.
He's a looker.
Listen.
Let me tell
the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Tell me why they put the jellyfish in front of me right now.
I told you.
Yeah. So I remember it was a bath, but he put the jellyfish in the bathtub.
Yes.
Oh, that is horrible, isn't it? Okay, sorry.
We're actually wrapping up, which is the funniest part. So essentially, this date does not go well. And if I'm correct, no. Let me see, because I've got the book open right here.
If you were correct, eh?
They just keep joking with each other. That's basically the last thing that he tells her, that, you know, the accident really messed him up. And that she needs to be more welcoming, more warm, which I don't love. I don't love when women tell women to smile, be warm. You be warm. Warm me up.
Again, pretty privilege. You see what I mean? Now, if a man like this tells you, you know, you need to be more approachable, like, he's giving you tips.
Get out like of this, my face.
I'm blowing my kiss. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then I think it ends with him just as they're doing a little banter, like he goes back and forth, you know, helping out the customers, and he's just like, "Are you gonna be here for a while to hang out?" She's like, "Yeah, for sure. Like, I'll be here for a bit." And so like it just shows like they just talk long hours, and they just have a connection that's undeniable, and I can't wait for them to get together. So it's cute, very cute. I do want to say that I've read ahead. Yeah, because I was bored. Besides, just continue. And I do like this author a lot. And I know when you talked about in the beginning about that scene with 10-inch Matthew. I think out of all the books we've read, there is a self-pleasure.
Really?
And I feel like I was thinking back. I'm just like, have any of our books talked about or have described self-pleasure in here? Which one? Oh, the piano?
No. Tia Williams. So that's another one. Katie Ryan's with Soledad.
This one here is more detailed.
I can tell, though, because just off the first chapter, I was like, whoa, she...
Yeah, she's definitely... Yeah. Watch out, y'all. She definitely has she definitely has the words for it. Because I was thinking to myself, well, for her in this book, it felt more relatable because I'm just like, oh, yeah, this is like a casual evening. Mm-hmm. Anywho, that is how the chapter ends. And these are our first chapters. Love the book already. I enjoy the writing. I enjoy the themes around her being, around her family just bothering her about her weight, about finding a man, about turning 30, about just... love and life and family. You know what I mean? I love the whole thing. And sisterhood. Most importantly, sisterhood.
Sisterhood. Wait. I feel like he said family twice.
Yeah. Anyway, it's late. And if you guys have been following us along, thank you for staying until the end. I know sometimes Odile and I go off topic. Mostly Odile, but wow. I try and keep up on track because I'm the producer.
Right.
So please, you guys, obviously follow us on our social media pages, Romantic Lit on TikTok, on YouTube, and Instagram. And we also have a Twitter, but we don't usually use that app unless it's for laughs and giggles. But you can also email us at romanticlit@gmail.com if you have any questions, any book suggestions. You know, Jill is dying to find a book from Brazil. Or Zimbabwe.
At this point, I've given up.
Oh, yeah. They're there. It's just that we keep going between Nigerian authors, Black American authors, Black Brit writers. Like, we're just... This cannot be the only, y'all. Like, it has to be more. And we're going to try and find something, hopefully, soon. But as usual, we love, love, love hearing your opinions. We love it when you guys laugh with us. It's hilarious that you guys find us funny, but this is actually how we are regularly.
I wish we were faking. I wish we could be more demure.
Odile and I are far from demure.
We're not derailed. Cute. We're cutesy.
Deluded.
Mindful?
Mm. I wouldn't even say cutesy.
I'm cutesy.
I wouldn't even say cutesy. And so, yeah, that's us. Anything else you want to say, my lover friend?
Anything else I want to say, be safe out there, be warm or be cool, depending on where you are in the world. And let's remember to approach things with you know, we're in economic downfall, so let's remember to have empathy for our neighbors, and let's all pray for the death of Israel. Amen. All right. Bye, everybody.
Good night.